you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 192 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is Mark Cerniglia. Now, Mark was a guest way back on episode 18 of May of 2018. And if you were around at that time, you'll know he was also the founder and creator of a company called Spotlight Branding, which is an internet marketing and branding firm that was a longtime sponsor of this show. And frankly, I was a client of theirs for a long time. And Mark and I haven't spoken in a great deal of time. I'm no longer a client, and they're actually just starting the sponsorship back up again, as you'll hear. However, I wanted to have Mark on the show because we share a passion having to do with something that we're calling the big lie of internet marketing. And that has to do with, is SEO optimization, search engine optimization, and services associated with improving that, is that really worth your time and money as a solo and small firm practitioner? And so we yak about this for a long time on this episode. So I'm going to jump right in and say, without any further delay, here is Mark Cerniglia. Mark Cerniglia, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, glad to be back.
So for our audience's edification, I'm sure lots of you have been with us since the very beginning, but you'd have to go back to almost the very beginning, because Mark was last on the show way back on episode 18 in May of 2018. So it's been almost a year and a half or more, right?
My math seems like a lifetime, but it
yeah,
was.
in dog years, it is forever. But Mark, I know your background story. Tell our audience a little bit about who you are and how you got to be where you are today.
Sure. So I own a marketing company specifically for solo and small law firms called Spotlight Branding. It's a nationwide marketing agency that does websites, social media, content creation, video, email newsletters, all for law firms. And we're going to be talking about it a little bit more today. But the thing that makes Spotlight Branding unique and the thing that I'm passionate about is I really think that, or we've really seen that, search engines get way too much focus when it comes to internet marketing. And what doesn't get enough focus is just building a brand, building your credibility. There's a lot of referral opportunities that lawyers miss out on, and their marketers really aren't doing them any favors, helping them. And so we created Spotlight Branding to really kind of be that marketing company that is really focused on marketing to people and not necessarily search engines. And there's a lot of questions that come with that. There's a lot of benefits that come with that. There's even some things that are scary about that, I'm sure. But that's what Spotlight Branding is all about. And that's why I started that company, because I really felt like there was a better way to do legal marketing than what I'd seen out there.
Well, and in spirit of full disclosure, Spotlight Branding has been a sponsor of this podcast for a long time, although we're not currently doing that. Or actually, by the time this episode airs, we're going to come back and
we're do back. Round.
We're back and doing another round of sponsorship. And, I was a client of Spotlight Branding for many years. So I have nothing but good things to say about what Spotlight Branding does and how they do it. But you're 100% correct about the challenge or the issue with respect to search engine optimization companies who, frankly, me personally, I think is a bit of a snake oil sales job. And it's not to say that they don't earnestly try and do what they advertise that they're trying to do. But at the end of the day, if you're in a competitive market, a large market, or one where there are a lot of participants, the cost of getting high results on a bid process can be very, very high.
Well, it can. I mean, and that's honestly one item on a list that has many.
Yeah.
Of why search engine optimization isn't all that it's cracked up to be, and you know what I was really excited to kind of talk to everyone about today is just this idea of this big lie, right? This lie that you've been told, you know, probably as far back as you can remember in terms of, you know, since you thought about marketing your law firm or learned about marketing your law firm. And that big lie is that you need SEO in order to grow your practice. And right. That's what I'd love to unpack with you today.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I think attorneys are particularly susceptible to that lie, because look, if you're Coca-Cola and you can spend the money to get the keywords, to buy the keywords necessary to have you appear at the top of the search engine results, then great. But for the vast majority of solo and small firm practitioners, they can't. And for those who aren't spending the time to do the research and listen to somebody like you, search engine optimization gives them kind of like a magic pill. I can hire somebody to do SEO for me, and they're going to automatically make my website go to the top of the search engine results, and I'm going to be on page one of Google. And that's a concept that's easy for attorneys to understand, but to implement is really part of the snake oil sale, if you ask me.
Well, absolutely, and I think that what often happens is there's actually a lot of war stories out there, right, of people who have failed at this. But I think that we have a little bit of confirmation bias where we know that one firm that had success doing it, and that's what we hear, right? And we don't realize that way more, you know, fail than succeed. I mean, you mentioned the cost, but I'll tell you the first thing I always point out to people, and why it really is a lie that to be successful you have to be worried about this, is because from a pure numbers standpoint, it's literally impossible for every law firm to have success on search engines. I mean, you mentioned the point that you have to have this big budget. Let's just say in our fantasy land that we're going to make up that everyone has the budget for it. The simple fact is that in most cities, large, medium, and even some small, whether you have 20 other attorneys that do what you do, or 100 or 1,000, there's really only 3-4 spaces at the top of Google that really matter. So it literally, from a pure mathematical standpoint, is not possible for every law firm to have success on search engines when it comes to the fact that whatever keywords you're competing on, so are X amount of other law firms that do what you do. So why would we believe that in order to be successful, I must care about this? If that's true, then the majority of law firms are going to have to close their doors soon, right? Because there's limited space available.
Yeah, well, you said a long time ago, there's only so much real estate on page one of the Google search results.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know what people say? They say, okay, well, my SEO guy told me about this thing called long tail keywords. And for those that don't know, it's okay, well, I understand that if somebody is searching for, you know, Baltimore family law attorney, you know, that, you know, maybe I won't show up. But what if it's like a question they have about, you know, about the divorce process, and they, you know, they type in that question, or, you know, or they search something, you know, longer. It's like, okay, well, you think you're the only one that's thought of that? You know, if there's 50 other family law attorneys that do what you do in your city, you know,
there's a blog post written on every one of their websites that answers that question.
Well, yeah. So exactly. And so, you know, the first part of the lie to break down is that it's just actually not possible for that to be true, because there's just not enough space for everyone to be successful, you know?
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting though, and to kind of transition from there is, but what if you are one of the lucky ones, right? I mean, so first of all, just recognizing that this is a huge uphill battle, that way more fail than succeed. So I think, I mean, honestly, at this point, if you're convinced, you don't even have to listen to the rest of the podcast, but it wants to, right? I mean, you know, but because the truth is, and the reason I get fired up about this is because I see so many law firms spend time, money, resources, energy, focusing on this, and that's all at an opportunity cost for not focusing on other places. And I'll kind of get in what I mean by that in a second, because I've also seen where the focus on SEO can kind of take away from some other areas that are
important. That was going to be my next point about it, missing the forest because of the tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's dive into that now. Absolutely. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times, again, more so with attorneys who are either less technically sophisticated or maybe looking for a quick score. If you put all your eggs in the SEO basket, you're going to be spending time, money, and resources that you could have been using in maybe more productive ways that are more directly related to the clients that you're looking for. And so, you know, you're missing the opportunity to connect on a more direct and valuable level with your potential clients if you put all your eggs in just buying keywords, all your money into buying keywords.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it's obviously, if you take a step back, it's easy to see if you know, if you were spending money on SEO, it's easy to see, okay, well, gosh, if I don't have to spend it there, I've got all this money now I could spend, you know, somewhere else. And that's exciting, and it's kind of easy to see the opportunity cost there. I think one of kind of the hidden areas as well is in kind of the everyday marketing stuff that you need to be doing these days that most people generally agree with. So things like, you know, you should have a blog on your website, you should have a social media presence, you should be creating content,
right,
you should be creating video. These are like the baseline requirements to kind of be up to today's standards. But I think what happens is, when you can do all of those things, extremely focused on search engines. And so you start creating blogs and focusing on stuffing them with keywords. And you start thinking about your social media content, your video content, and you start thinking about, you know, how it's going to help my Google ranking or how people are going to find it when it's searched. And the problem with that is that you're creating content with robots in mind, not with people in mind, right? You're not thinking about what's going to actually create a blog that connects with a human being. Instead, you're thinking about a blog that's going to connect with Google's algorithm.
And I think that perfect,
actually produces subpar content.
I'll give you a perfect example of that. I had a listener who contacted me offline and said that they were using a copywriter to help them generate content for their blog posts. And the copywriter was writing these great headlines that were, descriptive and intriguing and eye-catching and what have you. But they said, and linked to or to the body of the blog post, but this attorney said, but you know, I keep going into my website, I have the SEO plugin that evaluates the SEO quality of the post, and it kept coming up with a low score. So I kept changing the titles and
spending time, energy,
subheadings. I said, let me see if this is right. You undid this great work that you paid a copywriter to do to appeal to, just as you said, the human element of the reader. And instead you rewrote it for a robot.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And here's the sad truth, more times than not, it's not even going to matter. Like even if you checked off all the SEO boxes, going back to our previous point about how competitive it is out there and how hard it is to really get traction with organic search results, you're spending all this time optimizing content and it's probably not even going to produce anyway. And now you have content that better connects with, you know, robots instead of people. Yeah. And so the actual people that do come to your website, which in this case is probably more people that are referred to you, people that have met you, people that may want to refer to you, like your colleagues, and you could have had content that connects with them, and now you've kind of put that content at risk, right?
Yeah, or you just homogenized it. Instead of it being unique and pertinent, I think we all have a bit of a radar detector that says, nah, man, that title or that subtitle looks convoluted. I wonder who they're writing that for.
Absolutely. I want to give like a really simple kind of example of this too. Sometimes people aren't even necessarily going to read your blogs. And we talk about this a lot at Spotlight Branding, how even just in choosing the blog title, we're really intentional, because the idea for us is, let's say someone's just skimming your website, or maybe your blog's in your newsletter, or maybe it's on social media, so they're just skimming that. But either way, you know, we want someone to just see the blog title and already kind of know something about what you do, or know if they're in the right place. So, right, if you're practicing, you know, family law, even if the blog title is just something like 3 tips to a smooth divorce, you know, just by seeing that blog title, I kind of know that you focus on divorce, and I know that you care about making it a smooth process. So all of a sudden, that's actually subconsciously building some credibility with me on kind of what you do and what you're all about. But what SEO companies want to do is they want to have that blog title be something like, you know, Florida divorce attorneys, how to get divorced in Florida, right?
Right.
You know, and so now that blog title does nothing for the person who's probably actually seeing it, right? As we're 3 tips to a smooth divorce process. So even, without even getting into the content, it's crazy how just something as simple as the title and trying to optimize that can actually mean that you're kind of losing out, you know, on the impact you can make on the people that actually see it, you know?
So why is proper branding and proper marketing the kinds of things that Spotlight Branding does for solo and small firm practitioners? How does that combat the big lie of the SEO?
Well, I mean, the reason I've kind of mentioned the idea that I think SEO kind of sabotages or undermines, you know, the creation of content is, you know, because I see it every day. And so we try to be the ones that create it differently.
Yeah.
You know, so we do blogs, we do social media, we do video. We're not unique in the fact that we do those things. What makes us unique is that when we're creating that content, we're focused on what's going to connect with people and not necessarily a search engine, right? So to answer your question more specifically, if we're creating blogs, we're asking ourselves, okay, what kind of questions do people have about this practice area? What are the challenges they're facing when they're engaged in this kind of legal situation? Okay, that's a blog topic. That's a blog topic. You know, and we're trying to keep it 10,000 foot level. You know, we're not trying to write it like it's going to go into a law school textbook. And we're obviously not writing it trying to stuff it full of keywords. We want to be something they can read, easily digest, and feel like it's giving them a little bit of insight. And then hopefully the natural next step is to contact the attorney.
Today's episode is brought to you by the team at Spotlight Branding. If you've been throwing money at Google and you haven't been happy with the casework you're attracting, it's time to switch up your marketing strategy. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of legal marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel or push you to spend thousands on pay-per-click ads. Instead, they work with solo and small law firms to stay top of mind with your network to increase referrals, which we all agree are the best kinds of clients. One of the biggest mistakes attorneys make is that they fail to stay top of mind with their network. We're bombarded with information every day, and it's easy for people to forget who you are and what you do. Spotlight Branding's marketing strategy makes it nearly impossible for your network to forget about you, which means they'll think of you first when they or someone they know needs legal help. You can absolutely grow your business without competing for a spot on the first page of Google search. Spotlight Branding has turned hundreds of lawyers across the country into the go-to attorney in their community, and they can do the same for you. To get started, they're offering listeners of The Law Entrepreneur a free copy of their anti-SEO report. Just go to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, to get your free copy. Spotlight Branding, a better way to market your law practice. Law school didn't teach you the business of law. I know how hard you work. As you practice law, manage your firm, rainmake, making sure the bills are paid, you wear so many hats. You feel like you're stuck in neutral all the while working more and more hours? Fortune 500 CEOs all have coaches. Why don't you? You've got to talk to my friends at lawcoaching.com. Lawcoaching.com has coached solo, small firm, and medium-sized firms like you to huge growths. Head coach Anthony Geraci coached his firm to 490% increase over 5 years, and he can do it for you. Are you tired of trying to find great associates to do your work? Do you want more freedom to grow your firm? Then you've got to talk to Anthony Geraci and lawcoaching.com at 855-455-0050 or visit them at lawcoaching.com/partners/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive 20% off for the first month. You deserve to invest in yourself and take your firm to exceptional results. The other thing I think that you guys do really well is that you write from a client service perspective. What is, and I think that's just exactly what you were saying, is that, you know, what is it that concerns the client as opposed to what is, because I think a lot of times we, as attorneys, we're writing for other attorneys, you know, or we're writing for, you know, unless you're doing appellate law where you're working, your clients are other attorneys, nobody really cares how smart you are or how many qualifications you have. What they really want to know is, what can you do to help solve my problem? How is your writing, how is your content client-oriented as opposed to firm-oriented?
Well, exactly. And so that's the first area that we try to be different, and that I kind of see this big lie really impact is how content gets created. But, you know, there's another one that I think is equally important, if not more important. And I think that the focus on SEO also causes people to miss some of the really clear opportunities that are in front of them. I'll give you an example. I can't tell you how often I run into attorneys and try to talk to them about email newsletters and how often the response is, I don't want an email newsletter. Nobody wants an email newsletter from me. I don't like getting email newsletters. Everyone has a million reasons why they shouldn't send an email newsletter. I mean, the funny thing is I just thought of this now and I'm absolutely going to go do this. I want to go run a poll for attorneys on just yes or no, do you think SEO is important to your law practice? And I also want to run a poll saying yes or no, do you think an email newsletter is important to your law practice? And sadly, I bet you it's going to be much higher scores on SEO.
Yeah.
Right? But you and me both know that sending an email newsletter is one of the most undervalued things you could possibly do for your law firm, because with one click of a button, you can stay in touch with all of your contacts, your past clients, colleagues, referral sources. And I know you have firsthand experience with this. And I think a lot of lawyers don't realize how many referrals they're leaving on the table.
I will tell you that I've had clients who have come to me and said, man, I deleted your newsletter 10 times, 20 times, you know, but you kept sending it. I didn't unsubscribe because I'd like to see what the headlines were. I never really read it. Until one time you wrote one that really resonated with me. And I read it and I went, oh, I should have, I already know who you are. I never read your newsletter, but I know who you are and what you do just from getting it. And then I started getting it, you know, every week, and it was a reminder, I got to call Neil. I got to call the Tyra Law Firm. And I've had people who said, yeah, I've gotten your newsletter for 2 years. I finally got around to calling you.
And you know what's great, funny about that story is that it, thank God that you weren't creating those headlines based on what you thought
certain people wanted. Yeah, exactly.
right? Because they did skim the headline. And it was kind of that constant little reminder of what you do and what you're all about. And you know, look, what does an email newsletter have to do with search engines? You know, not much. I mean, theoretically, could you pursue both? Yes. I mean, I think that sometimes there might be some conflict in content strategies, which is what we just talked about. But my bigger point is that so many lawyers are just engulfed by this idea of what they need to be doing on search engines. Meanwhile, they're not paying attention to some other areas that are really effective. And I think that's part of where the lie hurts as well. Because not only could it take time, energy, and resources such as money to pursue search engines, but again, I go back to the idea of opportunity cost, right? What are you not paying attention to? You know, one of the, we've been talking about this stat for 5 or 6 years now, and I still think that it's not, that it hasn't kind of gone mainstream as much as it needs to, but there is a study out there done on law firms that shows that while something like, I want to say like 83% of your network wants to refer to you, that only about 29% are. Right? So simple math, 29 of 83 are, of 83 that are willing, right? So in other words, the average law firm is getting about one third of the referrals people are willing to give them. And most law firms aren't doing anything about that. They're not doing anything to try to solve the referral problem. Meanwhile, they still network like crazy, meet people, everyone still knows that relationships and referrals are important, but I don't think they realize just how much they're leaving on the table. You know, meanwhile, we put our time, energy, money, resources into things like search engines, and I think it's really unfortunate.
Can I tell you a quick lesson that I've learned about...
Well, this is your podcast, absolutely.
About newsletters recently. I was one of those people who kind of resisted including personal information in the newsletter. And it was another way of delivering the content that I was writing in my blog or elsewhere. And I didn't include a lot of personal information there because I was trying to separate work from family and that kind of thing. Recently, I have accepted that maybe that was logic that was misplaced or illogical. And I've had a couple of opportunities that came up organically, one of which was, you know, I went on a retreat with my daughter in Utah, and there was a scene, an incident that gave rise to a blog post and that I wrote about it. I can't tell you the surge in responsiveness to that one newsletter, that one blog post, because I included something personal about me. Now,
and do you remember how you promoted it?
Same way. Same way. Social media, pointing to the blog post, including
email.
Campaign. So there wasn't anything different except, you know, I included a picture of myself and my daughter, and, you know, it's kind of a funny story about meeting a moose on the mountain in Utah. But it was one of those things where I had a tremendous uptick in the responsiveness that people had. And they specifically mentioned the fact that, oh, it's so great to see your family. It's so great to see you in a setting that was talking about estate planning, but really wasn't drilling estate planning information into my head. So I think that's another opportunity, as a complete aside, I think it's another opportunity that we as attorneys could take more advantage of and get better results. Just be a little more personal. You know, if you want people do business with those that they know, like, and trust. Well, if you don't let them know who you are, if you don't do anything to get them to like you, how do you expect them to trust you?
And that's a great point too, because, like, I mean, that is basically the opposite of trying to optimize your content. You know.
Yeah. Being personal. Yeah.
One of the other things I kind of wanted to make sure that we touched on real quick. I'm sure our listeners don't want to listen to you and I all day, although I'm sure you and I would be happy talking all day. Yeah. But
I got nowhere else to go.
But you know, something we need to mention too, I think, is part of kind of the big lie about SEO isn't just how hard it is, but it's also a big part of the lie is that the success that you think you're going to get from it isn't all that it's actually cracked up to be. What a lot of firms find, and there's exceptions to this, but what a lot of firms find is that the people going to Google to find a lawyer are often price shopping. Makes sense, right? Because I'm literally in a place where I'm a click away from your competition. Right? So it'd be like setting up my store, you know, my lemonade stand or my clothing store or whatever, right next to a few other lemonade stands and wondering why the people that come up to my lemonade stand are price shopping and are comparing me to the competitors and really aren't good leads to begin with. And I spent all of this money to get them to come up to my lemonade stand.
Yeah.
You know? Have you seen that? Have you come across that or heard that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I just got back from the Clio conference in San Diego. I keep saying I just got back. It's now all over a month ago. But, you know, one of the points that they were making about the expectations of potential clients when they do go and search for an attorney is that they're really looking for two things. They're looking for insight into what the process is and insight into the general cost that they can be expected to pay for the services. And I think if you get too wound up in that, in the second part, there can be a race to the bottom in terms of cost.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And so I think you have to provide that value first, and you know, along the way, convey what your process is, what the next steps are, how you're going to be engaging with the potential client, and by the way, what the general cost is going to be, so they have some sense of it. But if they're just going down the list and hoping to find price points and do that price comparative shopping, then it's going to be a race to the bottom by definition.
Well, and I think the key is that you're inviting them to. I mean, even if your website does everything that you just communicated in order to differentiate you, you're still putting so much effort into a marketing environment where they're still one click away from sizing you up. And so, you know, I think what's really interesting to think about is that the only reason somebody goes to Google to find a lawyer is because they don't have a better option.
Well, that's exactly correct. And I was going to say that I'd rather they come to my website for a different mechanism. It's a paradigm shift.
Like they're referred to you.
Either they're referred to me or they've gotten my newsletter or
happen to come across your social media presence. Like
they see me in social media or my social media ad pops up. And for whatever reason, they then go to my website and then they can see the process, the procedure, the relative cost. But if I'm putting my eggs in the SEO basket and the only reason they get to my website is because they've done a Google search, then it defeats that purpose.
What's so interesting is because I mean, I hear the SEO companies at these conferences and they get up on stage and you know, you and I have both seen it, and they share this data about how many more people are going to search engines to find clients. And so it's easy to walk away from that thinking, oh, okay, if they're going to search engines to find a lawyer, that's where I need to be. And I think that's completely missing the point. I mean, it's the point the SEO companies are making because that's how they make money. But the point is give people a better option. They're going to search engines because it's the last resort. But the more that you build your brand, the more you become the go-to firm in your town or your city, whether that's because you build a strong network and you stay in touch with them through newsletters or because you have a great social media presence and you know, you've built a lot of just awareness of your firm there. The whole point is that when somebody has a need that arises, hopefully they already know who to ask or they already know where to go. Yeah. They already know how to find you. You know, you know, Google really is that last resort. And so ultimately, you know, I hope something everyone kind of takes with them today is the reason that this pursuit of SEO is so unfortunate is because it's extremely competitive. It's more likely that you're going to fail than you succeed. And even if you do succeed, you're probably not going to be that thrilled with the results anyway. You know, meanwhile, there's so much more you could be doing to get more referrals, to build your brand awareness elsewhere, you know, and it's just unfortunate because there's still this fear that if I don't put some effort into this, I'm somehow harming my firm or the future.
I'm getting left behind. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. There's an attorney here in the Washington, D.C. area. His name is Seth Price. He's the principal at the firm Price Beckwitz. And he also is the owner of a digital marketing firm called Blue Shark. And he was on Allison Williams' Facebook law firm mentor program. Allison's been a guest on a program a couple of times. And he made the point, and I'll give him credit, and I like Seth a lot. I give him credit for being honest and forthright about digital marketing. And his point was that if you're not willing to spend $350,000 annually on search engine optimization, don't waste your time. Because he recognized just all the things that we've been talking about. Now, he was one of the early adopters and somebody who got in literally on the ground floor 15, 20 years ago. And so his experience with search engine optimization to grow his firm was completely different because he was able to capitalize on those opportunities. But that's in the past. And so now, by his own admission, if you don't have that kind of money, then you're better off doing something else.
Right. No, and I know Seth as well. And, you know, I haven't read everything he's written and I haven't seen everything he's said. But I will say this, out of the things I have seen or have heard, he's one of the few people telling the truth, right? And I'm not trying to throw all the other SEO companies under the bus. Look, I'm sure there's a handful of them out there who are snake oil salesmen, right? And know exactly the BS that they're throwing out there. I think a handful of them, they just believe their own BS, right? Like they think that SEO is this great thing. And, you know, the truth is that it's just not all it's cracked up to be. You know, and there's something, one last thing I kind of want to make sure the listeners understand, because as we've been preaching this message for years now, we've kind of been able to better kind of understand, I think, some of the questions that are out there. And I think one thing we need to draw a line between is when we talk about you not having to worry about doing SEO, we're not saying that if somebody searches your name, they're not going to be able to find you.
Well, right.
Right? That's completely different. I think sometimes people think that, oh my gosh, if my website company's not doing SEO, then like Google's going to penalize my website. And that's not true. You know, I mean, there are some things that if you do that are just the wrong way to do a website, you know, sure. But you know, you build a website the right way. You make sure it's mobile optimized and stuff like that. And you do that because obviously if somebody's looking for Neil Tyra, right. You want to make sure they can find you, right?
You know, 100% correct. And I was going to make that point. You know, if you have this comes up when we talk about, well, what should I name my law firm? Okay. Should my law firm be named after me as a solo, or should it have some other type of name? And there's arguments on both sides. And I would say that if your name was Smith, naming your law firm Smith Law Firm is basically hiding under a bushel basket. I'm lucky enough that, my name is pretty unique and pretty short, you know, Tyra, like Tyra Banks, only different, you know, or my friend Michael Gottlieb, recently, I'm just going to plug him real quick, recently named Entrepreneur of the Year by the Rockville Chamber of Commerce, his law firm, Monumental Law Group. So I think sometimes if you have one of those names, then people, it sticks in people's mind. What was the name of that attorney that somebody talked to me about?
That's a great point.
Tyra. Or Monumental. Or
no.
Something.
Well, yeah, and no SEO.
No SEO.
No active SEO needs to be done to make sure that when somebody searches for that, they find you. And I just want to make sure we clear up that myth with any of the listeners. Like, if you have a website and people are searching for you and can't find you, you don't need SEO. It honestly means that your website company just doesn't know what, like they didn't build it right. And so in other words, what I'm saying very honestly is there's building a website properly, and then separately, there's doing SEO.
Right.
Building a website properly, people should find you when they're searching for you. And I just want to make sure people don't think that they're giving that up if they kind of start to say no to SEO. Two different things.
Can I depart just for a little bit here before we wrap up from our SEO discussion? And I want to just bring to light something that's different from, you know, the last time we spoke and different from when I was a client. And that is Spotlight Branding commitment to video. You guys have really incorporated video in a big way into what you offer your clients. Can you talk about that for a bit?
I appreciate that. I for what it's worth to the audience, that wasn't scripted. So thank you, Neil. I did not ask for that. I think that there's just a couple things. I think number one, we recognize that as an industry, people do have a problem trusting lawyers. It's something that it's really important that I think the industry embraces. I mean, the ABA even put out a study a couple of years ago kind of referencing the average consumer distrusts, you know, the average lawyer. And so number one, I share that because videos are a really effective way to actually build trust, believe it or not, because unlike the written word, right, video is both visual and audible.
Right.
Right. So people can see you, they can hear you, they can make a connection. So what we've found is that when you do something like video FAQs, which is one of the major things we do for our clients, people watch them, they connect with them, they feel like the natural next step is to come in and talk to you. They've already got some questions answered, which is great because it saved you some time. But also by the time they come in and talk to you, they already feel like they trust you a little bit, like they know you a little bit. They're a little closer to being ready to signing an engagement letter and moving forward. And so we've just seen video be something that connects with an audience better, you know, and it does fit the SEO narrative funny because the SEO companies are also doing more video, but they're doing it because they're telling you how it's great for search engines, right? Right. But you know, our focus is on, you know, how do we create video that connects with people? And that's why we've really been focusing a lot on it.
I had a great experience at the ClioCon conference in I was walking the vendor floor at one point, and one of the folks from behind the booth leaped out into the aisleway and said, "You're Neil Tyra."
Went, yes.
Why, yes, I am. Thank you. Said, I recognize you from the videos. I went, wow. I don't have that much video content, but thanks. And so I just thought that was kind of interesting.
I mean, you had your moment where you were a celebrity.
Yeah. It wasn't that he recognized me, you know, from the high quality of my legal work.
You know? I mean, that reminds me of, I remember having a client that, I mean, I think she was dropping her daughter or picking her daughter up from dance practice or something like that. And one of the moms comes like running up to her being like, oh my gosh, you know, you're the one from the video. Yeah. You know, and I guess apparently this person was on her email list, but it was so interesting because the person responds, they were almost giddy. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's just funny how it works. But, you know, I mean, video makes the connection with people. It really does. And especially when that video is, even if it's only 30 or 60 seconds, when it's providing information that could potentially be helpful or valuable, you know, I think that really positions you in the right way, you know, and you take that and you put that on social media, right? Or you put that in an email newsletter. I mean, that's effective marketing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's kind of what we're trying to get at.
Well, just in wrapping this up, to talk about effective marketing, I want to give a plug to Mark's podcast as well, called the Law Firm Marketing Minute. And you can find that on their website or on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you find your podcasts these days. And one of the great things about the Law Firm Marketing Minute, unlike this long-winded exercise that we've gone through, your podcasts are generally in the 5 to 10 minute range. So if you want a quick hitter and learn something new, I highly recommend the Law Firm Marketing Minute. So beyond that, Mark, tell our audience how they can reach out to you and connect if they want to follow up on anything we've discussed today.
Absolutely. The website is easy. It's spotlightbranding.com. We've got tons of resources there. We've got a great report called the Anti-SEO Report that you can download for free. We have a handful of other reports and infographics. So education information is important to us. So I suggest you peruse our website. Again, spotlightbranding.com. We've got downloadable resources, video FAQs, of course, that you can watch. There's a few contact forms on there. So if you have any desire to connect with me, to have, you know, just chat. And if I can be of assistance to the listener of this podcast, I'd be happy to. Certainly, if you want to discuss our services, just make sure to mention that in the form, and the right person from my team can set up a complimentary conversation with you and see if we can help. But certainly, if any of your listeners just kind of want my input on something completely separate from working with Spotlight Branding, just mention that when you fill out the contact form that you'd like to speak with me. And, you know, I'd be happy to, you know, help out your listeners however I can.
Outstanding. Sounds great. Well, Mark, I want to thank you again for returning to the Law Entrepreneur, and let's have you back again.
Yes, can't wait. Looking forward to it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope it was helpful.
Thanks so much. Well, that will do it, fellow law entrepreneurs, for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors this week. That would be Ruby Receptionists, Jurisdiction, Law Coaching, and Spotlight Branding. Be sure to visit us on our website at www.thelawentrepreneur.com or check us out on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Just search for The Law Entrepreneur. You'll find us. Make sure you consider joining our private Facebook group, where we'll be having some new offerings starting the first of the year. So I want you to have a great week, and we'll see you next time. And thank you for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.